Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. And today we're going to do something a little unique. We'd spoken last week with floodplain coordinator Steve Asbury about Powell County's response to natural disasters. And then on yesterday's show, we talked about the hazard mitigation plan adopted by the fiscal court to keep us organized, to keep us on track, and lay out everyone's responsibilities in the event of a disaster. And today we are joined by some individuals who are very well-versed in disaster communication. Obviously, everyone that you see, from volunteer firefighters to police officers, they have radios hanging off of their hip, and we all take for granted they pick that up and someone talks to them. And what we don't often think about is how that process actually works, and how during natural disasters or just everyday emergencies, our first responders communicate in the field back to the 911 center and then with each other. So today we're joined by some experts in the field, along with myself and the judge and CSIP director, Kevin Babcock, all three of us who have utilized the system. And if you want to start, just introduce yourself and tell us exactly what you do and how you're related to this particular aspect of emergency management in Powell County.
My name is Dave Rohr, and I'm with a company called Advanced Radio Technology. We installed the new updated radio system about 2 years ago, I believe. Is that right? Two, three years ago.
Well, we moved in here February 25th, so
okay,
right
yeah,
around.
And we were in the process of installing the base stations and the actual core of the radio system before that, but it's about 2 or 3 years old. And Powell County had purchased a state-of-the-art digital system, which is the standard now that the government has adopted, and it's called P25 or Project 25. It's all new equipment, and it's with their new console system in the EOC. They have probably one of the nicest dispatch centers and latest great equipment in the area. We went to a digital format because the FCC has mandated that everybody gets to there eventually, and it gives us a little better coverage. It's kind of like your digital TV. It's either you have the picture or you don't, and then it gives us a lot better range. We also basically have four tower sites in the system, which gives us a greater coverage area on the portable radio. So if a police officer, a fire, or an EMS person needs to contact dispatch, depending on where they're at in the county, they can always get back to the county with these four towers. It also gives us reliability, in the fact that we're not just based on one tower. If one tower goes down, we don't lose the whole system. So that's kind of the long and the short of it. It's the current state of the art equipment out there. So you guys are very lucky in this area that you have that, your citizens.
Well, and Dave, you've worked with us for a while. There was a gentleman named Ray Carpenter. Unfortunately, he's passed on. He was our radio guru for many, many years, and he knew essentially the inside and out, everything you could know about the type of equipment we used. He reached sort of an age of retirement, and then he had worked with Dave, and Dave came to be our digital era guy. But now, Dave, you're familiar with what we had before and what we have now. Could you kind of tell us what kind of progress we've seen in Powell County in the last 10 years or so?
Well, what you had before was it was basically a mismatch of radios that that we have gotten, and it was the old analog system, which everybody could hear on their scanners, and it had a voting system, which we still use today, which let us utilize all these towers. But basically, again, I said you've got the state-of-the-art, very reliable, all tied together with a microwave system, which doesn't depend on the phone company or any other agency that's maintained by Powell County or us, and that. So that if we have a natural disaster and we lose power, the phone cable gets cut, it doesn't affect our communication, which is one of the things that's really reliable with digital. So essentially, you know, you basically have a hardened radio system, as we would call it in the industry, so that we're not relied on the phone company or utilities. Same thing with the tower sites; they all have generators, so that if we lose power, that we won't take the system down. So one of the issues in a natural disaster, what they're experiencing right now in Houston and everything else, is power, and working with the utilities like phone companies to link all our stuff together. And one thing that Powell County did, which is really decent, is that they maintain all that stuff separate from that. So we have a lot of reliability in that. And the digital equipment is a lot more reliable. And the radio equipment that we have today is all digital. So basically, the big thing is the reliability and the state of the art performance of the equipment. So you guys are very lucky to have that.
Well, and if I can steer one of the questions here to our CSEP director, Kevin, you, I'm sure most people would know, prior to your role in CSEP, you were law enforcement for many years here in Powell County. Definitely have plenty of experience in radio communications. And how would you say that communications, emergency communications, first responder communications have improved in Powell County just since you've been here?
It's night and day. There's absolutely no doubt that digital is the clarification, the clarity in the signal and the reception is awesome. The problem being is sometimes, I think he alluded to the voting system earlier, when you're talking about the different sites, some of the radios have issues, and you'll hear some little garbling. But that's nothing in comparison to hearing Shelby County when the rain came in, or you hear the bleed over. I'm sure anybody in Scannerland used to wonder who that people were talking on the radio, because during certain atmospheric conditions, you would hear bleed over from, 200 miles away. Digital, you have zero of that. As long as the towers are up, as long as you have the direct line of sight, which we have great coverage in the county now, it's a safety issue. It makes it tremendously better for an officer, especially in a county our size, when there's one officer out by themselves.
Well, and of course, the ability for an officer to communicate back and forth to their fellow officers and to the dispatch center, and of course, same for EMS and firefighters, it's crucial from a first responder safety standpoint. But even beyond just losing coverage, which was an issue we had years ago, I can personally remember an incident where there was an officer down situation that took place in eastern Kentucky, and they managed to bleed over into our radio. It was a state trooper who was in a situation, and we had, all we got was Oak Road or Oak Drive or something of that nature, and then that there were shots fired, and then we lost them, and we had an entire active police force scrambling to everything that even sounded like Oak in Powell County trying to find this.
And there's about five of those.
Yeah, and so aside from the panic that kind of thing can induce, but I mean, you now have all of these lights and sirens, police cruisers all over the county unnecessarily. So mm-hmm. It really has made a huge difference in public safety, no question about that. Now, this system, Judge, if you can kind of talk to us a little bit about the economics of it. I know this was not something that was paid for out of general fund or local tax dollars, correct?
Yeah, that's one thing I think we're very fortunate. Naturally, we got the CSEP director and the previous CSEP director as well. But Powell County's been very fortunate in regards to, you look at some of the things that programs allowed us to do above and beyond what we could have. And this is a prime example. And I think while we're on it, beyond I think two things that really made me want to try to do this show was, like we kind of, Dave referred to, if you see what communications problem down south now, to show how we're kind of a step ahead of that, and then kind of give the folks out there idea, a police officer, firefighter, whatever, having a radio is just part of the equation, I guess. Letting them have a little insight into what goes on to make that a functional piece of equipment is very exciting here. But I think you kind of alluded to it there going forward, and that's one of the things myself and Director Babcock have talked about, is up until now, that program has afforded us the ability to get a lot of this equipment, but we've got to be looking forward. We want to maintain these systems once that program's gone, so we've got to start being innovative and making sure that we put ourselves in a position to where, once CSEP goes away, that we have the ability to keep the same standards that we currently have. And one thing Dave kind of referred to there, beyond going digital and the equipment we have, the addition of the tower site on the Hinkle property, I think, kind of really helped us gain a lot of area in the eastern part of the county that we didn't have coverage in. You might want to speak to a little bit of what that had done to the whole system, getting that new tower online.
Yeah, the original towers, we had the main tower site, which is at Furnace. We call it Furnace Mountain. I guess it's Furnace. Is that the road? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Furnace Road.
Yeah, Furnace Road. And then on the other end of the county was at Black Creek, down in Clay City. Mm-hmm. And then you always had problems down where the Hinkle site is, which is...
It's just off of Campton Road.
Off the Campton Road. So by putting that tower site in there, that increased our coverage up there. And if somebody was out with a portable in somebody's house, he was able to get back, where before we might not have had that ability to do that. So, you know, basically, you know, with the three towers that we have now and then the tower at Dispatch, we're able to pretty much cover the county. Would you say, Corey, we probably got 95% portable coverage and 100% mobile?
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember really well, there were just parts of this county where you just knew there wasn't going to be radio service. I mean, I've even had calls sent out and where the first responder tells you in advance, you know, when I get up there, I'm not going to have any coverage. So, call me to check on me or anything like that. And that's not the issue anymore.
That's correct. And one of the things that I forgot to mention before was with the digital system, you asked me what the difference between the old system and the new system. One of the nice things about it is that we have IDs now that show up on the dispatch consoles and when the guy's calling, so that we actually see who it is. So we know it's one of our units, or relating to that story you said where you heard a police officer had been shot, or
right,
and you didn't know if it was your guys or somebody else. But now we have IDs in the system, and we also have capability of it declaring an emergency with a portable if an officer is in trouble and that kind of stuff. So those are kind of the stuff that comes with the P25. And the P25, again, just to talk about that a little bit, it's called APCO 25, and it's a standard that the government has adopted. So we're using the same technology that the federal government's using, and you guys are very fortunate that you have this type of system where, you know, a lot of people and a lot of counties your size don't have that. So
sure,
you're very cutting edge, and you should be proud of that. So
well, we certainly are. And for those who may not be aware in the community of how cutting edge our 911 center actually is, we're using, as Dave just pointed out, the most up-to-date technology with radio communication. But beyond that, we're also utilizing our other two main computer systems. Our phone system is the same one that's utilized at the Pentagon, and our CAD system is the same one utilized by Chicago Police Department and major cities. So we really are fortunate in Powell County. And, Kevin, you can speak to a little bit of this just from the experience you've already had of how CSEP and federal grant process and things like that have allowed us access to types of things that certainly wouldn't have been available to us outside of that program, and certainly aren't to a lot of our neighbor counties.
Oh, absolutely. Just look at Wolf County, and they're still analog. He was alluding that they're trying to go digital, but that's extremely expensive. The CSEP program has allowed 10 counties in central Kentucky, Powell County being one of them, to access monies through the FEMA. We work closely with Region 4 out of Atlanta, and we work closely with Kentucky Emergency Management. And through that process, we are afforded a lot of financing to make sure that we have the best equipment possible in case there is an actual emergency at the depot in Richmond.
And we spoke about how we have redundancies in place for power outages and things like that, but in the event of serious emergencies, there are other means of communication that we expect to utilize out of our emergency operations center. And one of those has traditionally been ham radio, which is not something a lot of people who maybe aren't directly affiliated with it or have a ham license are going to have a lot of understanding of. So we were fortunate here to have our emergency services ham radio operator.
But before we get to our ham radio operator, we're going to have to break. This has actually been a really interesting conversation and really informative. We've learned a lot. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up for today, and we'll be back tomorrow with our ham radio operator, who's going to give us a little bit more of an insight into how that process works. So thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap, and we'll be back at our usual time. Hope everybody has an absolutely great fair day, and we'll talk to you soon.